BCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at bcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And thank you for joining us here on Crosstalk from the VCY American Network. Jim Schneider broadcasting from Trail Ridge Camp, having a few technical problems here, but certainly glad that you have joined us. So we apologize for the technical, we're not as technically astute as normally as far as the integrity of the signal, but hopefully you're able to get us through in our message here very clearly. So much has happened, ladies and gentlemen, in the last few days after multiple days of absence following his very mild symptoms with COVID, which included a runny nose, and after many weeks of saying he would not drop out of the race for president, he succumbed this past Sunday and made his announcement known by way of X that he was dropping out. Kamala Harris suddenly received record-breaking contributions and reportedly secured enough promised electors to feel confident going into the soon-to-be official nomination for the Democratic Party. Meanwhile, some intense grilling took place regarding the Secret Service fail with the near assassination of President Trump. In its wake, and head of the Secret Service, Kimberly Cheadle, has now resigned. Hearings continue now with the FBI before Committee of the Congress, and we're now just less than 15 weeks from Election Day. And also, by the way, Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu just speaking a very stirring message before a joint session of Congress. So joining us to discuss these matters, we welcome back to Crosstalk Robert Knight. He's a former Los Angeles Times news editor and columnist for the Washington Times, as well as other publications. Robert has had senior positions in a number of pro-family organizations. He has written several books, including The Coming Communist Wave, What Happens If the Left Captures All Three Branches of Government, Liberty on the Brink, and Crooked, What Really Happened in the 2020 Election and How to Stop the Fraud. Bob, thanks so much for joining us today. And do we have you, Bob, with us here today on Crosstalk?
Yes. Can you not hear me?
There we go. Good to have you with us here. Bob, let's just start with the attempted assassination of Donald Trump. Secret Service Director Kimberly Cheadle said the buck stopped with her, but she would not resign. Members of both sides of the aisle, though, were calling for her resignation, which finally took place yesterday. Bob, this was really an epic fail. Even statements by Kimberly Cheadle were not adding up. Your assessment of what transpired?
Well, they did fail. The fact that a lone shooter was able to access the nearest building outside the immediate area, well within shooting distance, less than two football fields away, for a sniper, that's not a whole lot. It's inexcusable. And plus, apparently they were giving stories that the local police were supposed to secure that area, and the police denied it and said, no, we weren't. What are you talking about? It was a total mess up.
Yeah, indeed it was. And now today we have FBI Director Wray testifying, and one of the interesting matters he mentioned was that the Trump rally shooter, Thomas Matthew Crooks, he had searched about the JFK assassination on the very day that he registered to attend Trump's July 13th campaign event in Butler, Pennsylvania. How eerie is that?
Yeah, that's weird. Plus, I read one account that he sent a drone over the area to check it out, and that he was using a scope to determine distance. And nobody picked up on all this. It's just hard to believe.
Well, evidently, members of the crowd did, and also some police had some kind of warnings, knowing for some time, but to see this transpire. And now it's being told, reported that President Trump has been told, hey, don't hold any more open-air events. And, Bob, you know the tens of thousands that come out to hear him, and many such venues cannot hold the people. I mean, some indicate that's campaign interference.
Yeah, one of Trump's greatest strengths is demonstrating that he has thousands of people behind him, willing to go through all the grueling efforts of attending an outdoor rally, as opposed to like last time around when Joe Biden hid in his basement most of the time. It provides a great contrast. So this would deprive him of a major campaign tool.
We're talking today with Robert Knight, and I'm on phone here from Trail Ridge Camp. A few technical problems, but nonetheless, the information is critically important. And Bob, today we do know that Speaker Ray did testify, and there's more information that is coming forth on this matter as well. But the other story that has really been making the news cycle here is the departure of Joe Biden. I mean, his departure, his bid for a second term. Some are really likening this to a coup attempt term, you know, that is now termed successful. What's your reaction to the way in which President Biden brought about his announcement that he is not running for a second term?
Well, for all the world, it does look like a coup because for several weeks, prominent Democrats tried to get him to step down because he obviously was mentally impaired. And he kept insisting he would not. And Jill, his wife, insisted that he would not. And it looked like nothing could budge him. And yet all of a sudden, he disappears for several days right after an announcement that he's not going to campaign for president. But he will retain the office of president and see out his term. This is something that probably won't happen. I don't think it's too bizarre. If he's incapable of a presidential campaign, what's he doing running the most important country in the world? I think there'll be a huge amount of pressure for him to resign the presidency and turn it over to Kamala Harris.
And there are many now calling for that, calling for his resignation from the office of president, you know, indicating his lack of mental fitness. Some have said if you're not capable of running for re-election, how can you say you're capable yet of leading this country, the leader of the free world?
Well, this is a little like when he was interviewed by Robert Hur, the special counsel who sat with him for 5 hours and then said, well, he was an elderly man, poor memory, and you know, we're not going to bother issuing any indictments because he's too frail, really. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, he's president of the United States. He's got the nuclear codes. He's directing his party in Congress. I mean, come on, this doesn't wash.
Yeah. We're talking with Robert Knight here today on Crosstalk. And friends, we're talking about certainly the current political landscape as we see it right now. And frankly, it seems to be changing by the hour. And Bob, many allege that Vice President Harris, that she was part of the cover-up of Joe Biden. I mean, Republican Tennessee Representative Andy Ogles introduced articles of impeachment yesterday against Vice President Harris, citing high crimes and misdemeanors. He said to the Daily Caller he believes that Harris knowingly breached the public's trust by failing to invoke the 25th Amendment after it became clear that Joe Biden was mentally and physically unfit to serve as president. She said immediate action must be taken. She's been touting his mental fitness for running for a second term day after day after day. What's your response to that?
Yeah, she lied. She said he was sharp. I mean, what more do you need, really? But, you know, this has revealed a lot about the deep state, about the media. They've been lying all along about Biden's so-called mental alertness. And, you know, it goes along with all the lies that we were told about COVID, and we've been told about election integrity. And people really, you can't blame them for being skeptical about anything they're told anymore, certainly by the mainstream media and certainly by the Biden administration. As far as impeaching her, I don't know. That never seems to go anywhere. But,
yeah.
You know, it's a bold move. I think it's designed to bring attention to the problem.
Now, Kamala Harris rose to the top very, very quickly. I mean, President Biden gave his endorsement to her. And even though she's not received any votes, it's being reported that she has enough of the delegates to sew up the nomination.
Oh, what? More than enough. She's got something like 2,500 and only needs, what, 1,900, something like that. So she's a shoe-in, barring any other weird developments that happen. And you can't bar those anymore. It's
a very
strange time in our history, Jim.
It is a strange time in our history. And what's so interesting in all of this is that still missing is the endorsement from the Obamas.
They're playing their cards close to the vest. And a lot of people thought Michelle Obama would come forward and take the nomination by acclaim. Mm-hmm. If they opened up the convention that's going to occur next month, that somebody like Gavin Newsom would take it. He's the governor of California and has been pretty much campaigning for president for the last 2 years. He's made a mess out of California, but that doesn't seem to bother the Democrats. But I was surprised. I was surprised that Kamala was able to pile up this much support this fast when she's not particularly liked even within the Democrat Party. She did very poorly last time she ran. She hasn't done anything as vice president other than to give the Republicans a big fat issue, which is called the border. She's
right.
Supposed to be the border czar, and the border has turned into a floodgate of millions of illegal aliens. And a friend of mine the other day said, well, the Republicans' campaign theme ought to be Kamala Harris. She'll do to America what she's done at the border.
Yeah, and sadly, Bob, as people will reflect back to that last presidential election, when she was running for president, she was, I believe, the first to drop out of contending, and she didn't go into that with any delegates, yet she was chosen by Joe Biden.
Yeah, she didn't get a single delegate. She polled under 2%. She just wasn't a viable candidate. And every time she spoke, she lost more support. I'm tired of that phrase, word salad, okay? I think it's overused.
Yeah.
But she does stumble through her speeches, and when she goes off script, my goodness, you never know what will tumble out of her mouth. Although she has been using one phrase repeatedly, and it's something on the lines of, we will go forward into the future unbound by what came before. And that's a perfect description of socialism. It's like nothing that came before is worthwhile. We have to tear it all down and start from scratch. That was the theme of the French Revolution. It was the theme of Karl Marx and the Communist Party. It's the theme of the modern Democratic Party right now.
Well, I think also we have to point out again that she is not a shoo-in, is she? I mean, the convention can still open up, could it not?
I don't see how they can avoid counting all these delegates she supposedly nailed down already.
Okay.
You know, I mean, they could open it up. People who are the big check writers in the Democratic Party could look at Trump versus Harris and say, we don't have a chance. This will solidify Trump's ability to regain the Oval Office. So maybe we'll do something at the last minute. But I doubt it at this point. They all seem to be falling into place, the governors, the senators, the power brokers. It's stunning to watch how fast she is accumulating power.
Friends, we're going to take a quick break here on Crosstalk. You're listening here on the VCY American Network. Robert Knight is our guest, former writer for the Los Angeles Times, news editor there, and certainly giving observation about the country today and the current political landscape. Back in 1 minute, you're on Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, geologist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, how much can scientists tell about an animal from its fossils?
Chris, they can tell quite a bit, but oftentimes they claim too much. Let me give you an example. Recently, a few fragments of teeth were found in Morocco of a mammal no bigger than a small dog. But the evolutionary discoverers claim that it was of a small elephant. Evidently, the molars were more similar to elephant molars than anything else. But they didn't stop there. They claim that this particular elephant didn't even have a trunk, and that he hid in trees and hunted at night. Cut me some slack. How can they tell this from a few tooth fragments? Now, I'm not sure what this animal was, but I'm quite certain you can't look at a tooth and know all that. Evolutionists should stop telling evolutionary stories and get back to Genesis.
Thanks, Dr. Morris. For more info on Genesis, visit us on the web at www.icr.org.
You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY American Network. talking to you live today from Trail Ridge Camp, where we're speaking to kids in grades 3 through 6 this week, having a wonderful week. The Lord's blessing us with great weather and great activities and also great chapel times together. And friends, we're coming to you here from the camp with Robert Knight, who is joining us by phone. He's a former Los Angeles Times news editor and also a writer for the Washington Times. He writes for many publications, his weekly columns. We're talking about the current political landscape. And Bob, just before we continue on, you do write a weekly column, and I know you make the column available for people across the country. Give us insight on how our listeners can obtain your weekly writings.
Yeah, it's pretty easy. You just send me an email to robertknight4, that's the numeral 4, at gmail.com, and just say, sign me up in the tagline. You can say hello if you want. You don't have to. I've gotten many subscribers from your program, Jim. Crosstalk probably delivers more people interested in the free column each week than anybody else.
So, friends, again, you can just send an email to Robert Knight, and Knight is spelled with a K, K-N-I-G-H-T, Robert Knight, the number 4, at gmail.com. And in the subject line, just write the word sign me up, and you'll get his weekly columns and writing on a number of current issues. And, Bob, I know that the election, election integrity, all these issues are things that you really zero in on with your columns.
Oh, yeah. Well, I wrote a whole book about election integrity, the book called Crooked, What Really Happened in 2020 and How to Stop Vote Fraud. And, you know, I did so because we just keep hearing that there was no widespread vote fraud. There were no irregularities worth mentioning in 2020. And when you look at it all in one place, and that's what I tried to do, make it real easy, it's stunning. It's obvious that there was tampering, Zuckerberg piling $400 million into the campaign, much of it in Wisconsin, taking over local election offices and turning them into Democrat voter turnout operations. I mean, mailing millions of ballots that weren't requested, unmanned ballot boxes. I mean, they used COVID to loosen all the election integrity rules you can think of. Mm-hmm. And then to say that, oh, but there's no vote fraud at all worth mentioning is just don't believe it, folks. And I'm glad a lot of states have tightened their election integrity rules. A lot of them have added voter ID, which is the most common sense requirement of all, especially for absentee balloting.
Tonight, President Biden is going to be issuing an address to the nation. What do you anticipate?
Well, he'll probably be juiced up with some kind of drug that makes him alert, as happened during the State of the Union address. And didn't happen during the debate. It's like they left him to hang out to dry. Everybody was stunned by his performance at the debate with Donald Trump. But tonight they'll probably have him in his best frame of mind. And he'll probably say, well, look, for the good of the country, I can't travel a lot, but I'm still going to run the country. And then he'll praise Kamala Harris and say how she's a great replacement for him. And I don't know what else he can say beyond that. He might take shots at Trump.
How vulnerable do you see the country right now?
I had a friend call me up, very frightened. He said, look, our enemies are watching. They know we have a mentally inactive president. We have a woman who's hasn't really demonstrated any competence. Who's running the country? Wouldn't this be a good time for them to do something awful? And I said, well, look, here's what I hope. First, I think God's in charge. I don't think he's through with America yet, okay? I really think he has his hand on this country and that we're seeing a revival happen before our very eyes in a lot of places. Second, there are people who have been running the White House behind the scenes, and they're probably in contact with our enemies saying, hey, don't get any ideas. We're here. We're alert. The military's still in place. All our rockets are, et cetera. So don't do any funny business. I'm assuming that's what they're doing. I hope that's what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And I hope that assures some people that things aren't going to break loose any minute because of this switchover to Kamala Harris.
We understand that the Trump campaign has just filed a complaint, really, with the Federal Election Commission, alleging that President Biden's transfer, this $91.5 million to the Harris campaign, is illegal. Trump's campaign general counsel wrote that, quote, Kamala Harris is seeking to perpetrate a $91.5 million heist of Joe Biden's leftover campaign cash, a brazen money grab that would constitute the single largest excessive contribution and biggest violation in the history of the Federal Election Campaign Act of 1977 as amended. Does he have any ground to stand on with that?
Oh, absolutely. There was a very good column in the Wall Street Journal a couple months ago that outlined why Joe Biden has $100 million behind him that they don't want to give up because he cannot, by law, transfer it to anybody else. And they made the case using the law and court precedents, et cetera, and it's rock solid. But it sounds like they're going to try to do it anyway because they don't really have a lot of respect for the law while they're trying to, quote-unquote, save democracy, unquote.
Mm-hmm. You know, on another issue, Vice President Harris is out. She's making her campaign speeches and really wasting no time. She kicked off her substitute presidential campaign on Monday by promising to pass two policies that were dropped from President Joe Biden's so-called Inflation Reduction Act, where members of Congress balked at the price tag. She's touting, she's pushing paid family leave. She's also pushing government-funded child care.
Yeah, we've got a deficit of, what, $33 trillion now? And, you know, at some point, that's going to hurt. And the Federal Reserve is going to have to do something and probably raise interest rates. Right now, they're looking to actually lower interest rates. And I think people are nervous in the financial sector. And just proposing massive new spending programs as if we don't already have an overburdened welfare state is the height of irresponsibility. There seems to be no end to how much they want the government to run everybody's lives.
We're talking today with Robert Knight, and he's sharing with us here today his perspective on this, certainly this roller coaster ride that we're on right now across this country. And looks like we got things working well with our commerce unit here, I believe. And a little bit of delay coming back through here. But let me just also mention this. We have Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu speaking before a joint session of Congress, and it's reported that neither he nor Vice President Harris met him at the airport, that the Vice President was skipping the address today, along with some others who are boycotting this event. This is a major address from Israel's Prime Minister.
Yeah. The lack of support for Israel and the quiet backstabbing that's going on is just horrendous. Israel is easily our only democratic ally in the Middle East. It's a tiny country, 6.5 miles across at the narrowest. You got 7.5 million people against 400 million Arabs and other Muslims in the area. I mean, it's just, and the whole world is saying, oh, they have to give up land for peace. And I'm thinking, wait a second. Israel's the size of New Jersey, okay? And then you have all the rest of the countries with 5 million square miles. And yet Israel is the one who's supposed to give up the land. I mean, it's the Biden administration is letting this happen, these attacks on Israel, because they want to secure the Muslim vote in places like Dearborn, Michigan, and elsewhere. And the Democrats have always depended on the black vote and the Jewish vote and the Hispanic vote. You know, the black and Hispanic vote is slipping away. Black and Hispanic families don't like the anti-family values of the Biden administration, and the Democrats are pushing the whole transgender nonsense and invading women's sports with men, et cetera. It's all insanity on stilts. So they're losing these major blocks, and they're trying to make up for it by becoming the party of the American Muslims. I don't think it'll work. I think that the Biden administration has so much baggage that there are so many unpopular policies that unless there is a huge amount of vote fraud, we're looking at a Trump landslide.
We're talking with Robert Knight here today on Crosstalk, and we know that one of the important decisions looming here yet would be her selection of a vice presidential running mate. And I know that there are various governor's names that are being floated, as is the Arizona Senator Mark Kelly has been floated as a potential running mate, Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg. Any thoughts on that process?
Yeah, I have no idea who she's going to pick. I wish I did, but... you know, she's got the minority base secured. She's a black/Indian woman, so she hits three marks right there. So they could be free to pick a white male, and it would probably be, since she's a radical leftist, they probably ought to pick someone the media has anointed as a moderate white male. That might be Governor Beshear of Kentucky, could be Mark Kelly, the senator from Arizona. I guess I don't think it'll be Gavin Newsom. He's got a very strong personality. I thought they would nominate him at the convention, but I don't think so anymore. So there you have it. I think they're free to be a little more open in who they nominate because of their obsession with quotas, and the quotas have already been met.
Robert, I know that the issues that are before us are, I mean, it's just like buckle your seatbelt, because we have so much change that's occurring day after day after day. And I know at the same time you have grave concerns regarding election integrity. I mean, we just had Wisconsin's Supreme Court recently went outside our legislative law. There was a liberal added to the court, and now the liberals dominate, and they have now gone outside the law to allow the placement of drop boxes out and about, you know, where municipalities and clerks want to put them. I know there are things happening in other states. You talked about some of the shoring up that's happening, but that's not universal, is it?
No, it isn't. It's in the Republican-controlled states. The states that are Democrat-controlled are actually loosening election laws to make it easier for people to vote illegally. Some states even are moving toward registering illegal immigrants. I mean, look at places like Tacoma Park, Maryland. For years, they've allowed anybody who lives there to vote. You don't even have to be a U.S. citizen. I think it's as wide open as you can just vote if you show up at the polls now. And they wanted to lower the voting age to 14. I mean, really, think about that for a minute. I know what I was like at 14. I had no business choosing our leaders at any level. And yet some of these Democrats in Tacoma Park think that's a great idea. In New York City, they're letting people who are not citizens of New York or the United States vote in city elections. Democrats in the District of Columbia tried to initiate a policy where people who weren't citizens of the U.S. could vote in the district. The Republicans in Congress put a stop to that because, after all, the District of Columbia isn't independent. It is run by Congress ultimately. But look at the intent. You let in 10 million illegal aliens, and then you start loosening voter registration laws. It's pretty obvious.
We're going to pick up with this after the break. Robert Knight is with us here. We'll be back in 1 minute here on Crosstalk.
There is a movement to propel humanity toward an advanced level of existence. Those seeking to change the culture of society are on a rapid trajectory, aggressively touting the extremely powerful capabilities of AI.
Artificial intelligence and transhumanism.
The ultimate goal of the elite is to obtain immortality and become gods. In the book, Artificial Intelligence, Transhumanism and the De-evolution of Democracy, pastor and Bible prophecy speaker Dr. Richard Schmitz unfolds his extensive research and documents revealing information unveiling the agenda of those pursuing this technology for evil. You'll also see how these technological advancements fit hand in glove with biblical prophecy and one known as Antichrist. The book, Artificial Intelligence, available for a donation of $18. Call 1-800-729-9829.
We You're listening to Crosstalk from VCY America, broadcasting live from Trail Ridge Camp just outside of Hillsboro, Wisconsin. Again, speaking to young people this week, grades 3 through 6, we have twice-a-day chapel sessions. Right now, they're out and about with wonderful activities here at the camp, but looking forward to teaching again this evening time with them. Be praying for camp this week, and what an opportunity to reach boys and girls with the gospel message. Right now, today on Crosstalk, Robert Knight is with us, a former Los Angeles Times news editor. He writes columns for the Washington Times as well as other publications. And by the way, if you'd like to receive those columns, you can come automatically to your email box and just send them an email to robertknight4@gmail.com. That's Robert Knight, spelled with a K, Robert Knight, the number 4@gmail.com, and just put in the word sign me up, and he'll get you signed up and be a part of this. One of his recent columns was dealing with what's happening with DEI, dealing with this diversity, equity, and inclusion. We'll get to that in just a moment. First, though, Bob, just to kind of wrap up your thoughts here on election integrity as we approach the November elections, not too many weeks away now, less than 15 weeks to the election. What would you say is your greatest concern as we approach this election?
Well, my greatest concern is the dirty voter registration rolls all over the country. A few groups are battling it, like Judicial Watch and the American Constitutional Rights Union and the Public Information. Christian Adams's group. He was with the Justice Department, and he's with PILF, Public Information Legal Foundation. And they file lawsuits all over, and they're finding people on the voter rolls who are 150 years old, or who clearly moved away or died, and that sort of thing. The voter rolls need to be cleaned up. I would encourage anybody out there to sign up to work at the polls. I mean, I have people in my family who volunteered, and they said it's a fun experience, and they felt good because they were there making sure nothing happened, and they got paid for it. So it's even better than poll watching. But if a lot of people who are concerned about what's happening to America sign up to be poll workers in their local precincts or a nearby precinct, you don't even have to live in the place you sign up for, that would help a lot to keep an eye on things. The other thing is to make sure you vote. Get a lot of your friends and fellow church members out to vote who typically don't vote. I have a feeling that if there is an outpouring big enough for a conservative ticket, meaning Donald Trump and J.D. Vance and electing conservatives to Congress, they won't be able to steal it. They won't be able to commit enough vote fraud because everybody's watching.
Bob, what are your thoughts on early voting? There have been many who have shied away from that, saying, no, I want that one-day voting, but yet it's open for the country population as a whole. Your thoughts on early voting?
Yeah, I don't like it a bit. I think early voting is a way to make it easier to commit vote fraud. That said, if it is in place, take advantage of it. Even Donald Trump has urged people to vote early. And the reason is, what if something happens on election day? What if you can't make it to the polls? I mean, at least you got your vote in. So I think that's the reasoning. But I think that they need to reform it and get rid of early voting up to a month and a half before the election is ridiculous. Most, it ought to be a week before, so people have a little wiggle room. But even then, and all throughout American history, we didn't need that. We just had you vote on election day with everybody else, and if you can't and you have an excuse, file an absentee ballot. But all these so-called innovations, same-day registration, long early voting, unmanned ballot boxes, and they're all designed to pave the way for vote fraud. There's no other explanation.
Friends, you're listening to Crosstalk on VCY. We're going to hit one other issue, that is DEI. But if you'd like to start getting on board with your calls today, your questions, your brief comments, our phone number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. That's 1-800-733-9829. 800-259-2729. Taking your questions today for Robert Knight or brief comments, 800-733-9829. Bob, you wrote recently on DEI, that's diversity, equity, inclusion, and this has been hitting the nation like a tidal wave, but it seems like waters are starting to recede. Tell us what's going on.
Well, big companies are pulling away from DEI, and of course, DEI is quotas by any other words, and it's worse than quotas. It's browbeating employees to adopt progressive views on everything. It's counting race, color, sex as more important than merit. And for example, Tractor Supply and John Deere just backed off their DEI programs. Tractor Supply even issued a letter, which was amazing. It says that we're not going to fund pride parades anymore. We're not going to donate to a major gay rights group. We're not going to browbeat our employees anymore. We're going to focus on rural America priorities, including ag education, animal welfare, veterans causes. And they're going to just flat out eliminate DEI roles. And John Deere came alongside and said, yeah, we too are getting rid of all that. And you look at Microsoft even, and that's in liberal Washington State. That's where it's headquartered. They have dismissed their whole DEI team. They're backing off because they realize the public doesn't like it. It's weakening their companies because they're putting in people based on quotas rather than merit. And that, by the way, it's racist and sexist at its core. It's saying that these people can't compete, so you have to make special accommodations. It's like saying that voter ID is racist, you know, that somehow minority Americans can't possibly have a voter, have an ID like a driver's license like everybody else. This is all coming home to roost, and it's a good thing. I think people are waking up from this whole DEI nightmare that was imposed after the George Floyd shooting in 2020. The companies were rushing to show that they were politically correct, and now it's been a disaster, so they're backing off. The example I use, the last example is the Secret Service. Said, you know, they have pushed the whole idea of female agents over male agents. Not that women can't be Secret Service agents, and there's some of them should be. We should have women Secret Service agents. But I said, just think about people right up close. Who would you rather have guard you, Hulk Hogan or a starlet? Or, you know, think of a famous female.
Mm-hmm. You know, what's interesting,
Taylor
too,
Swift.
Bob, is...
Okay.
Yeah. What we're seeing happen, too, is a lot of backtracking that's happening on school boards and people who are rising up on the local basis and saying we're not going this direction any longer. I mean, I know there are not in all cases, but there have been many who have changed out school board members and changed policies as a result of people getting involved and saying we're not going to tolerate this DEI.
Oh, yeah. Parents are rising up all over the country. And, of course, homeschooling's at an all-time high. It may be as much as 10% now of school kids being homeschooled. Christian schools are reopening. You know, they were in a bad way for a while, but now they're coming back. And the people who are sending their kids to public schools are right there in front of the school board saying, why are you doing this to our kids, teaching bad American history, teaching kids to hate our country, teaching them weird sexual behaviors? Why do you think that's education? It's as if the curtain has been ripped back from the Wizard of Oz, as represented by the teachers' unions and left-wing groups that have controlled government schools for years and overplayed their hand, I think. They've gotten so radical that parents who aren't even conservative are very concerned that their kids aren't being educated. They're being indoctrinated.
Yeah, and indeed. And friends, many times we've wondered, people have wondered, they've called in, how can, you know, how can I make a difference? They're not listening to me. But, Bob, they're listening at John Deere. They're listening at, you know, Tractor Supply Store. They're listening at these corporations. If people will reach out to them in protest, and some of these companies have said they're no longer going to submit these applications or scoring events with, like, the Human Rights Campaign.
Yeah, it really started with the Bud Light disaster, where they had a transgender influencer in an ad holding up a Bud Light can, and the public just revolted. And in fact, just this past week, there was a story in the Wall Street Journal that Bud Light has not only slipped from its former number one position to number two, it's now down to number three. I don't think it will ever recover its base of customers because people identify it with the woke agenda. And if you go out and have a Bud Light, you're basically saying, I'm for the transgender movement. I'm for racial quotas. I'm for left-wing economics. It's the woke agenda. And other companies are saying, we don't want to be identified like that. And so they're backing off this stuff.
Okay. Well, let's go to the phone lines, pick up some calls here, and we're going to start with line number one, and we have Ez calling in from, I believe, the state of Iowa. Hi, Ez, you're on the air.
Yeah, Ames, Iowa. I'm a retired...
Oh, Ames, Iowa. Okay.
And I want to speak of a wonderful public school called Gilbert, Iowa, and I worked up there for a couple of years as a substitute teacher, and this school system is raising some great citizens. These kids are wonderful. They're respectful, and I love being up there. But I retired in May. Gilbert, Iowa, some great citizens coming up the pike.
Okay. Well, thank
well,
you for that.
And
it is encouraging. And how is the curriculum coming into the school? Are they avoiding the curriculum that's going on in many other schools?
Yes. Now, I did mostly subbing in the middle school. I followed special ed kids, but I met a lot of wonderful teachers. In fact, four teachers from my church, Stonebrook Community in Ames, worked there, and they are wonderful people. The administration, Dr. Trillojo, is a wonderful superintendent. I can't say enough about Gilbert, Iowa school system.
Okay. Oh, we got that from you. Thank you so much for your call here today. And Bob, we were grateful for Christian teachers that are making a difference in schools. And part of the issue with many is, though, that they have been prohibited from sharing their Christian faith or standing up for values or going outside the curriculum that's being forced upon them.
Yeah, it sounds like Gilbert, Iowa is an outlier. You know, I'm happy for them, but in many school systems around the country, they're openly anti-Christian, they're openly secular, they're pushing the whole LGBTQ agenda.
Right.
Even, you know, this doesn't mean there aren't a lot of great teachers there, a lot of Christian teachers are in the public schools. They're doing their best to teach in the face of all this. But, you know, as a parent, I'd have to say if you can afford to, And that sometimes means sacrifice. Get your kids out of the government schools. It's just that they're far more radical than you realize. They've been at it for years, and the NEA, the largest teachers union, pushes a completely left-wing Marxist agenda. And, you know, a Sunday school isn't going to make up for, you know, hours and hours each week of this kind of indoctrination.
Friends, we're listening to Crosstalk. Robert Knight, our guest here today on the broadcast, and talking about certainly the changing political landscape, our current political landscape. Taking your calls here at Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. Back in 1 minute.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewtube.com. Recently, country singer John Rich did an interview with Tucker Carlson. Now, I like John Rich in some ways, that's for sure, and I appreciate some of the things he said about Christians and persecution and the coming mark of the beast. But he said a few things that I want to get on the record and correct. One of the things he said is that those that promote the idea of a rapture before the tribulation are promoting something that came about in 1830 due to a guy named John Darby. And then it was made popular by the Scofield Bible that came out in 1909, the first Bible to ever really have commentary notes. First of all, I can show you, as I did on television the other night, early church fathers teaching what we find in the Bible, the removal of the church before the wrath of God, the seven-year tribulation. And the first study Bible with notes was not 1909 Scofield. It was the Geneva Bible in the late 1500s. Facts do matter.
And friends, we thank you for listening to Crosstalk here on the VCY American Network. Robert Knight is our guest, and if you want to read Bob's columns, he'll send them right to your email every single week. He writes on so many issues that certainly are impactful of us, just writing on DEI here just recently. He writes on many political issues. He writes on voter integrity issues. He takes a look at our culture and addresses many, many issues through his biblical worldview. And you can receive those complimentary every week to your email. Just send an email right now to Robert Knight, it's with a K, Robert Knight, the number 4, at gmail.com. And just write in the subject line, sign me up. You don't have to do anything beyond that. He'll get you added to his weekly email list, Robert Knight4 at gmail.com. He also has a website where you can find a number of his resources as well, his books that are available there. And that website is Robert H. Knight.com, RobertHKnight.com. And Bob, I know you've got a number of resources available there.
Well, I've got 10 books, plus a law review article I wrote about how sexual orientation as a phrase is changing the law radically. People don't realize that's a radical challenge to the gospel. It's mm-hmm. In one phrase, it's basically saying what Jesus said about sexuality is wrong, and that what you are, what you think you are, and therefore we're going to restructure the entire civil rights apparatus to punish people who don't go along with that. That's what's happened, and I've been warning about it for years.
Our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. Line number 3, we have Diana calling from New Lisbon, Wisconsin. Hi, Diana. You're on the air.
Yeah, I turned on the radio when you were talking about the people wanting to vote, all the lax in the voting situation. And I got thinking back when there was women's suffrage. I was reading about it in books when I was in high school and stuff, you know. And I'm 78 years old. And if you think about it, look at how long those women who were born and raised here could not even vote until there was women's suffrage for how many years? And now they're letting just anybody that wants to come in and vote? That's changing the whole landscape of the United States.
It is changing it. Thank you for the call, Diana. Bob, your comment?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. They're basically saying that U.S. citizenship is no longer important. And that really people who have been living and working here for years and raising their families don't count. They're flooding the country with illegal aliens who may or may not share our cultural values. And it's outrageous. You know, they talk about filing articles of impeachment over various things, but, you know, I don't think it's beyond calling it treason to not secure the U.S. border. That's the one thing the President of the United States should do, if nothing else. And that hasn't happened over the last 4 years. That's why we have millions and millions of illegals and a rise in crime, especially in urban areas.
Yeah. Our phone number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. Let's go to line number 4. We have Jim calling from Wisconsin. Hi, Jim. You're on the air.
Yes, I was just wanted to pose this question. All these bad policies that have been enacted to make it easier for people to cheat in our elections, how were they enacted? How did they come to pass? And what can we do to reverse these? Or are we able to?
Good question. Bob.
A lot of them came about through bills that were passed by Democrat-dominated legislatures. In fact, most of them. But one of the things that happened in 2020 was that the legislatures, say in Pennsylvania and elsewhere, hadn't changed the election rules, but courts and election offices were doing it on their own. And it's absolutely unconstitutional based on state constitutions. And that was one of the charges that the Trump campaign made, that these people were illegally changing the rules in the middle of an election. And now you hear people say, well, the courts examined all that and found no merit. No, they didn't examine it. They threw out these cases on procedural grounds. They never looked at the evidence. And by the way, that on January 6th, when they had the stupid riot at the Capitol, most of those people were just asking for a delay in the county, the Electoral College ballots, until the evidence could be examined. They weren't trying to overthrow the government. It wasn't an insurrection by any means, but the media keep using that term.
And we saw the rules put in place, the changing of the law due to COVID here, Bob, and many had just disregard for the law and wrote things in that didn't exist legislatively. So we really had a number of election commissions and courts that went above the law.
Yeah, Wisconsin especially had some real problems, and just all the money that Mark Zuckerberg poured into the state to take over the election offices, that can't be allowed to happen again. Some states have moved to ban any private money involving itself in the election administration, which I think is only fair because it has to be open. You have to trust your election officials. You can't think they're on one side or the other.
Let's go to line number one. We have Dan calling from Phoenix, Arizona. Dan, thank you for calling Crosstalk. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to say that Robert is a little disingenuous when he says that anyone is allowed to register to vote, including illegal immigrants, as he puts it. The truth is that they are allowed to vote in some local elections. It is still illegal for them to vote for president. So it's not going to change anything when it comes to the country as a whole, as one of the callers had mentioned. Nothing's going to change in that sense. It's only those who want to vote for certain local ordinances.
Okay, Dan, thanks for the call. I'm going to have Bob respond. Bob, go ahead.
Well, first, not because they're not trying, okay? I mean, these ideas have been floated and... But here's a part of the problem. With the census, they count everybody in a congressional district, and congressional districts are assigned based on population. If you flood a congressional district with lots of illegals, you're going to get, or a state, you're going to get more congressional districts based on people who can't even vote. I know that Republicans went to court. And it got thrown out. And they said that, wait a minute, this can't be constitutional because this will help determine what kind of Congress we have. So,
yeah.
I mean,
and,
counting
you know,
illegals in a census for voting districting purposes should be illegal, but it isn't. So
we're going to have to leave it right there. We're out of time. Robert Knight, our guest here today, robertknight4@gmail.com. Thanks, folks, for being with us.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.